Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes we have to talk about hard things. Like when the cap has been left off of the toothpaste tube for the 84th time. You just got to sit your husband down and tell him that there will be a change of behavior. Or when I schedule an event on a Saturday afternoon and I haven't checked the church calendar, and it's not the first time I've done it. And our office manager, Kelly, has to inform me of how difficult it is to rearrange schedules. Not to mention that Kat's going to have to do an extra sweep of the floors before Sunday morning. Well, you can bet that there's going to be a bit of a hard talk coming my way. Parents know about hard conversations. Now, what do we do next time we have the scissors near our sister's hair? Police officers know about hard conversations. Can you tell me why, sir, you were going 42 in a 25 zone? But even after these little talks, take place, it doesn't always mean that the situation is resolved. Perhaps the police officer encounters the same car again, just a couple of weeks after the unfortunate 42 mile an hour incident, where the guy chooses to give up when his partner can't seem to remember that the little cap and where it goes and how that's all gonna work. But just because we intentionally focus on what might be difficult in our world sometimes, that doesn't mean that we're not generally happy about how things are going. A couple can have a happy marriage even with a toothpaste tube cap placement insufficiency. And you can still be a happy, well-intentioned member of society after the police officer stops you. And my sister's hair grew back. I don't know what all the fuss was about. She looked kind of cool for a couple of weeks, but I guess we won't talk about that too much anymore. Indeed, there's much to be joyful for. And I suppose it's true that we don't spend as much time focusing on the good and the positive and the happy in our world like we should. We could list all of the good things that are going on in our world. Many of us are having friends over for the game this afternoon, laughter, certainly some junk food, maybe some satisfaction at the outcome of the game. The mountains surrounding our valley were beautiful when the sun came out this week, with their white peaks superimposed upon the deep blue winter sky. Even if we're a little bit tired of the snow and ice here in town, the mountains are still pretty. Right here in our building, on Friday night, a group of folks gathered for food and conversation, and an evening of games among adults and kids alike. And all of it was to support and promote an idea that a few people in our community have had about something called a tiny homes neighborhood, a place that will help some of our neighbors who are housing insecure. They have an idea to help, and they invite people to join together and join in the conversation. Who knows where it will all go? But can the process be detrimental if all it does is get people together talking about possibilities? And can we here at Bethlehem offer a place to gather? Many of our high school students got good grades on their homework and tests this week. Some of our special needs students had good interactions with their peers, interactions that helped them to learn and grow in what is already a challenging life, a life misunderstood by so many of the rest of us. My office in the other building has a window that looks out on the jungle gym, the playground out there, right? And it lifts my spirits to hear the little voices of kids pouring out of the school and come bounding into the playground. They climb and they play and they lick snow off of the little picnic tables. And they interact with one another using their little voices, planning some imaginary adventure in their world. What do you see and hear each day that renews your hope in humanity and the future of the world? We should pause and give thanks for the people of our past. People who built this congregation and this church. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and guided their hearts and their hands to give us the blessing of a space and an organ and a whole bunch of handbells that are going to get played today. Thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen.
And a community and connections and deep relationships. Some people have said that I don't honor the older members of our congregation enough. Or the ones who have died and now rest in the arms of Jesus. Honor them for the spirit and the work that they gave to this congregation. Because I say that we need to consider sometimes our failings. Even in the midst of hard work and joy and blessings. And often when I use the word we in these contexts, I'm talking not about specific people. Maybe not just this congregation, but the we that is our whole community. Our valley, our country, our whole Christian church and our world. Just because we sometimes, or even often, point out our faults doesn't mean that we don't value our blessings. Jesus does this in the gospel passage today. He has some very pointed things to say about people's behavior. Things like hate and anger, lust and infidelity. How is it that your word can be trusted by the others in our community? Jesus has just finished talking about a whole bunch of blessings that he recognizes in the world. Blessings beyond what most people see. Blessings for the poor in spirit, the humble and meek, the peacemakers, and even those who are persecuted. Jesus knows the blessings and the goodness of the people around him. But he also needs to address the issues of the day. He needs to say to good people, you don't always get it right. You're not always the most blessed thing that ever happened in the world. You can hear about those failings and live even more deeply into the grace of God. The last couple of weeks I've talked about the foolish love of God. This grace of God that embraces sinners. I said, in effect, following the example of the Apostle Paul, I said that we will never know the true love of God if we insist on believing that it is our power, our goodness, our traditions, yes, even the greatness of this church and our ancestors. As blessed as that gift is, we will never know God's grace if we insist on believing that these things are what makes us great. We can follow the rules and avoid things like murder and adultery. We can be good people and still recognize the truth that it is only God's grace that brings us real joy, real love, real salvation. And this isn't a slap in the face to anyone, but it is to say that they weren't perfect, and neither are we. How does Paul put it today? I planted and Apollos watered. Just because Apollos is doing a different work, maybe even centered on different people, doesn't mean that the work of Paul and the people who were blessed with him don't matter anymore. So how can we hear the words of a spouse fed up with the mess of the toothpaste on the bathroom sink? Or the police officer who says you need to slow down. Or the pastor who says to the church, even this church, we need to recognize that in the past we have we haven't been as welcoming as we thought we were. Even now, we might need to work on ourselves in regard to our fears, our prejudices, our bad habits, and our pride. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people who are just about ready to enter into the promised land, decide today if you're going to follow the commandments of God, because life and joy and blessings will depend on it. Jesus says to the people of his day, that decision to follow God isn't a once and done kind of thing. That's a decision you make every day, every moment, when you consider hatred for your brother or sister, or lewd thoughts about your neighbor, or how it is that you expect justice in this world, but have not granted justice toward others. Jesus is saying to us, God's love is overflowing like a mighty river, but if you dam up that river with pride and arrogance, even righteous arrogance, you're going to make a desert out of the life that God intends to grow for the valley downstream. And sometimes those dams get put up without us even knowing, without us even meaning to, but they get put up nonetheless. I will continue to insist on pointing out where those dams exist. In the world, in this congregation. That's part of my job as a pastor here at Bethlehem and also as a pastor of the whole church. I will point out where we have neglected our neighbors or not welcomed strangers. I will let this congregation know when it is hidden behind pride and greatness, but forgotten the poor. That's not to scold or demean, but it is to point out that God loves us so much that God is going to stay with us through the difficult times and lead us into the blessing of the promised land. The spouse stays with the partner who can't remember where the toothpaste cap goes. The police officer gently reminds a citizen that the rules exist for safety for the whole community. God sets before us expectations for living in this world so that all may know that the God of love and life will pour rivers of blessing into our valley and grow our love for one another. Let's never forget to tell the stories of our blessings, especially the blessings of our dear families who have given so much to be thankful for as members and friends of this church. Let us invite all of our neighbors to come and share in this joy of serving together through the goodness that God has provided us. Let us rejoice in that blessing that God has come to us in the life and death of Jesus and will lead us unto the gates of eternity. But let us not think for a moment that we are the best, or the most powerful, or perfect, or that we have arrived at everything God has ever desired, or that nothing should ever change, because that kind of foolishness belongs only to God.